ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 14, Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, Text 35.
Namo Rudaya Mahate, Devāyo Graya Midjuse, Shivāya Nyasta Dhandāya, Vritta-dandhaya manyave, namo rudhaya mahate, devayodhaya midhushe, shivaya nyasta-dandhaya, vritta-dandhaya manyave.
Translation. Let me offer my obeisances unto the angry Lord Shiva, who is simultaneously the very ferocious great demigod and the fulfiller of all material desires. He is all auspicious and forgiving, but his anger can immediately move him to chastise. Diti prayed for the mercy of Lord Shiva very cleverly. She prayed, "The Lord can cause me to cry, but if he likes, he can also stop my crying, because he is Ashutosh. He is so great that if he likes, he can immediately destroy my pregnancy, but by his mercy, he can also fulfill my desire that my pregnancy will not be spoiled. Because he is all auspicious, it is not difficult for him to excuse me from being punished, although he is now ready to punish me, because I have moved his great anger. He appears like a man, but he is the Lord of all men." Om Agni Charanasya Ganandanasaka Chaksham Litani Tazma Sri Guru Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasti Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. It is very interesting that in this month of Kartik, in which we're celebrating the Bal Lila of Lord Krishna, Krishna's childhood pastimes, we also get to read about the pregnancy of Diti in the evening. And we get to hear about the children that the union of Diti and Kashyapa at the wrong time created. This chapter has many different layers. Although there are very powerful, prominent themes. First of all, Diti had a problem. She was overwhelmed by sex desire, and she pushed her husband to break the regular principles. Now, one thing Prabhupada makes clear is that, and this thing is a little hard for people today to understand. It wasn't exactly like Diti was simply overwhelmed by sex desire. She wanted sons. In Vedic culture, the two go together. But in today's Kali Yuga culture, sex desire is one thing and children are another thing. People are trained up not to see the connection between the two. Therefore, they feel free to engage in sexual relations with no consideration about children. But this is Vedic culture, and Kashyapa and Diti certainly are not any ordinary persons. This is life on the demigod level, in which there's a lot of power, there's a lot of good qualities, but also the demigods sometimes slip. So you have to take that into account. It's not like Diti and Kashyapa are some low-class people. You have to remember their extraordinary capacities on the heavenly plane. Just like you read in Krishna Leela about Indra, you've got Govardhan Puja coming up, and it definitely appears like Indra made a huge abominable mistake. At the same time, you have to remember who Indra is. Now, Diti was feeling pressure. All her co-wives, which were her sisters, they had sons, she had none. This is a very powerful pressure upon her. And naturally, what could she do? She's going to put that pressure on her husband. And probably it's hard for spirit souls and male bodies to understand how all this pressure is just boiling up in her. And she couldn't even wait a short time like her husband told her to do. Her husband said, okay, I agree to your desires, but let's just delay until we're properly following the regular principles. Let's just delay until we're out of the demoniac evening hours, during which Bhutesh, Lord Shiva, the master of ghostly entities, is going around, followed by his ghostly entourage. I appreciate your program, your desires. I consider them legitimate. And also, as you've heard in preceding verses, Kashyapa glorified his wife for her ability to protect the husband from going astray. But he's just asking, just wait a while. Let's make sure everything happens right. But Diti could not wait. The emotions that were boiling up in her became so powerful that she lost her good sense. This kind of special lust in which the desire to have sons welled up so much in her, it a bit resembled the lust that we know about today, but it's also coming out, the desires coming out according to the Vedic paradigm that I have this female body, my sisters all have sons, I believe 13 of her sisters, including her married Kashyapa, so it was just too much for her. So all this is just boiling over in her. Now, Kashyapa, he should have been able to handle the whole situation. Srila Prabhupada makes that clear in his multi-leveled purports, that Kashyapa should have known better. But actually, he was inclined to come under his wife's influence from the very beginning. Therefore, he did not strongly dissuade her. He did not strongly take the leadership position of the home. He was trained in Vedic culture. He understood that what it means to be husband, pati, and what it means to have dharma patni, have a wife who's a companion in dharma. He understood what it means to be a prajapati. Indeed, he is a prajapati. But somehow or other, he became too much enamored by his wife. He did not dissuade her strongly. And so from his very first words to her, he was indicating his predisposition. And of course, obviously, you can understand, Diti can pick that up. It's like even a child can pick up when the parents are not really going to be strict. And the parents are just a little weak. Then the child takes advantage. But Kashyapa, he didn't firmly shut the door on the situation. He kind of indicated his weakness for his wife's desires. And therefore, although she persisted and he told her, you must wait, don't you understand what's going on right now? You see, an intelligent person always considers the time, place, and circumstances of activity. People are not trained to do that today. In order to consider time, place, circumstances, you have to have sense control. And you have to have an overall understanding of what is auspicious and what is inauspicious. That means you have to understand how you got this body. Then you can know what to do with your body. But what does Krishna explain in Bhagavad Gita? Vimudan Anupashyanti, Pashyanti Jnana Chakshusa. The fools, not ordinary fool, but Vimudha, super fool, the super fool cannot understand how I got this present body, what my next body will be. They don't think like that. That is how people are raised today. They think about everything else except how they got this body and what their future body will be. Their attention is focused purely on economic development, hopes for economic advancement, and the resulting free sense gratification that economic expansion will bring. That's what they think about. They never inquire into the roots of their situation. So Krishna condemns such people in Bhagavad Gita, saying, these fools, they cannot understand. But Pashyanti Jnana Chakshusha, someone whose eyes have been opened with knowledge, they can see. The purpose of training in bhakti yoga is to develop persons who can see. Not that everyone just takes life at a superficial level. We want to create a class of persons who are willing to think before they act, who are able to consider the deep consequences of their human activity. Therefore, so much of Krishna consciousness is based on sense control. As Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction in his foreword, the beginning of Krishna consciousness is controlling the mind and senses. There must be a resolve to do that. Now, how are we going to develop that resolve? We shouldn't shy away from this point or hide it under the rug. Sooner or later, you have to come to grips with this issue. How am I going to develop the resolve for sense control? How am I going to do it in a way that's practical for me? That means we require advice, and you should take advice from strong persons. How can you develop resolve if you hear from persons who have no resolve? Just by the fact that we hear from those who have no resolve means we don't want any resolve. So if you want to develop the determination to use your senses properly in Krishna's service, then if you're a smart devotee, you'll have a whole academy of advisors who can stimulate you with strong example and demonstrate to you the benefits of resolve. Because I'll tell you one thing. Often, you don't, to your imperfect senses, you don't see the benefits of resolve until quite some time. That's why it's always wonderful to talk to older devotees, especially householders. They require this. Because so easily, householders can become influenced by just some temporary sentiment or some temporary contamination that's blowing through the air. But if the householders talk to householders who have demonstrated years of resolve, you get a completely different vision of life. It's amazing. And it's also amazing what happens and how quickly your Krishna consciousness goes down the drain when you start talking to those who have no resolve. Oh, it's not possible, you know. No one really follows, and, you know. I mean, everybody falls sooner or later, and, you know, hey, I still believe in Krishna, and, you know. Yeah, I've done some things, but lightning didn't strike me. And it's amazing how this affects your internal development in Krishna consciousness. I've seen this again and again and again, that the devotee's wealth, the devotee's treasure, is the good advice that they're getting. Good advice means how to develop resolve, how to develop a determined progress in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you get the opposite that Prahlad Maharaj talks about. The Grihavrata, one who has taken a determined vow that I will suffer in material life. Not that you directly say you're going to suffer, but what do you say? I am determined that my senses will rule me. Let my senses go whatever way they like, and this way I'll express myself. That is my life. This is Griha Vrata. And Prahlad Maharaj says, unfortunately, there's no way such kind of persons can become Krishna conscious. We've seen it all the time. After all is said and done, because such and such person refuses to accept the need to discipline the senses, then not possible to become Krishna conscious, Prahlad Maharaj says, by joint efforts, conferences, seminars, personal instruction. It doesn't work, because in that person's heart is the vrata. I am going to let my senses do whatever they think is good for them. And they spout religious beliefs, they may spout religious philosophy, theology, metaphysics, but deep inside there's that griha vrata vow. Look, I just want my senses to be happy doing what they want to do, and that's the bottom line. So what does Prahlad Maharaj say as a result of this griha vrata? Adanta govya vishitam tamishram. Because of adanta go, uncontrolled senses, they glide towards hellish conditions. Now, this is a poetic term I was speaking about recently, another temple. Prabhupada's common usage of this term, gliding towards hell. Now just think about it. When you're gliding, it feels good. You feel free. You feel like you're expressing yourself. But what is your destination? Gliding towards hell. Adanta govya vishitam tamishra. We shouldn't just kind of put down this kind of talk as, oh, this fire and brimstone talk. No, think about it. How do you glide towards a hellish situation? How do you feel when you're gliding? I know one devotee from Finland, and he was a skydiver. And he lost two friends through skydiving. Because what happens? You know, skydiving, you jump out of the airplane, and then you don't pull the ripcord to open your parachute for as long as possible, because you want to enjoy, you know, flying through the air, just completely free. Sometimes boy and girl, they jump out together holding hands and you know, enjoy the freedom of gliding through the air. And it's supposed to be a very exhilarating feeling. I mean, I've never done it, but people pay so much money in New Zealand. They fly down from LA to New Zealand, 13-hour flight, and they all want to go paragliding and skydiving, all these things that involve jumping through the air, bungee jumping, where you tie a rope around yourself, and then you jump from a bridge, and right before you crash into the water, under the bridge, the rope, you know, holds you. So people pay so much money to do this. They want to experience that feeling of gliding. So Prahlad Maharaj says, all right, you're having a good time gliding, but where are you going? Take a look. That no one wants to do. So this devotee, he lost two friends, two best friends, through skydiving, because they got so caught up in the exhilarating feeling of gliding, they delayed pulling the ripcord as long as possible, and it was too late when they finally pulled the ripcord. They didn't have enough time with the parachute up to cushion their fall, and so that was it. Two friends he lost. Then I was also speaking. I saw actually with my own eyes a movie of some university students. They were taking their first parachute jump. So there was one guy in the airplane, and he jumped out, and his friends, his mates, were waiting on the ground below. And they were all cheering. They all had the cameras. Yeah. You know, everyone's enjoying. And a friend is floating through the air, and he's, you know, laughing and, you know, gliding, feeling the ecstasy. But then suddenly everyone's faces turned horror, because where was he gliding toward? They noticed that the wind had taken a sudden turn, and the guy was gliding towards a pond of crocodiles. And so all of a sudden, because they were taking their own homemade movies, videos, so they, you know, they were just recording everything, and you could just see their faces change, like, first they were happy he's gliding, but then they saw where he's gliding toward. And indeed, the catastrophe happened. He landed in the pond of crocodiles, and the crocodiles were tearing him to pieces. At that time, the students were, you know, calling out to the crocodiles, leave him alone, don't touch him, leave him, stop, stop, as if the crocodiles understand English. No, it was a great tragedy. He was feeling the feeling of gliding, but now look where he wound up. So, this is the problem with uncontrolled senses, and it's something we have to convince ourselves of, and it takes a lot of work, because material nature is very strong. Diti is showing that. Her husband tried mildly to dissuade her. No, this is not very auspicious. But she wouldn't listen. Not only would she not listen, but she grabbed his cloth. And in this way, the activity went on in an inauspicious manner. Now what happens? Now comes regret time. That's the way it is with sinful activity. Regret time comes, and Diti is certainly feeling in that way. She knows what could happen. I've offended Lord Shiva. My husband is a great devotee of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva gets angry very easily. He might destroy my pregnancy. She's attached to her child. She knows she's conceived. Her husband's powerful and potent, so there's no doubt whether there's going to be some conception from the activity. So, immediately she understands, I've got to cover myself. I've got to get out of this somehow. So immediately she offers prayers to Lord Shiva. As Prabhupada says in today's verse, she offered prayers to Shiva very cleverly, like, yes, we all know you're angry. She says that so many times in this verse today. Let me offer my obeisances unto the angry Lord Shiva, the very ferocious great demigod. His anger can immediately move him to chastise, but he's also the fulfiller of all material desires. He is all auspicious. So she's making her plead to Lord Shiva that you're very easily angered, but you're also very easily pleased. So please be merciful to me. Don't destroy my child. Diti is showing actually how to be a real mother in this sense, that even right after conception, she's acting for the protection of the child in her womb. Certainly she's not thinking to have an abortion. Yeah, it's just right after time of conception, and immediately she's acting for the protection of the child in her womb. This kind of culture is unknown these days. So, she wants Lord Shiva to be pleased. And she's even invoking bodily relationship with Lord Shiva. Actually, Shiva, you're the husband of my sister Sati, so let there be some mercy even though there's been some transgression. Now, Kashyapa is going to sum up the situation. He's going to say, look, he sees his wife is trembling. She's worried. My husband's offended. Lord Shiva's offended. I don't know what kind of pregnancy I'm going to have. All these things are coming down at once. This is life in this world when we're not on top of our actions, when we're not fully having a grip on what our senses do. There's always regret, and certainly Diti is regretting. So Kashyapa tells her that you did everything the wrong way. You didn't listen to me. You offended the demigods, especially Lord Shiva, by mating at a time when Lord Shiva is present, walking around. All these things have been wrong. Your mind's polluted. Therefore, what's going to be the result? You're going to have two atrocious children who are going to cause havoc throughout the world. That's going to be the result. And furthermore, your kids are going to be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they'll be so atrocious that Krishna himself will have to kill them. Now, Diti is actually a devotee. So what does she think? Oh, well, at least they're going to be killed by Krishna. She knows that if someone's killed by Krishna, only good comes out of it. So her prayer is going to be, okay, but don't let anyone else kill them. Only let Krishna kill them. That is my prayer. Now, there's another side to it also, because, you see, this is not a black and white situation. It's not that Diti and Kashyapa are some kind of low-class persons. No. This is high demigod-like. So even though they make mistakes, they have so much good going for them. So Kashyapa conveys that good to his wife. that actually you are a devotee of Lord Shiva. You are a devotee of me, your husband, and you are a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, here's the good part. Your grandson, the child of these atrocious children, will be a Mahabhagavat, a great devotee of the Lord. So in this way, we can see life sometimes becomes a bit complicated. Why didn't D.T. wait just a little while as her husband instructed? We can try to understand what was boiling up inside of her. It's very instructive. Why was Kashyapa so weak? Why couldn't he take the firm line with her? Actually, the Shastra says that he offered his obeisances to fate, like, hey, I can't get out of this one, and then engaged in the activity with his wife. So, certainly you can say that it was the plan of the Lord that these two demons are born. At the same time, in the purports, Prabhupada is asking us to see what is the result of irregulation, what is the result of acting not in accord with Dharma. He makes that quite clear, and there's some very strong statements, which I don't know how anybody's going to get around. He said like that. So, these purports are meant to guide us in how to create a real human civilization, which is the greatest necessity today. More and more people are starting to realize what's going on with the minds of people today. They're doing so many crazy things. They cannot understand that craziness comes from the moment of conception. That they have no understanding of. People today think simply, oh, there's sex this way, sex that way, and then sometimes children are born, and oh, that's the way it is. They have no understanding of how their lust is directly contributing to the devastation in the world. And this chapter gives that understanding, and it's quite interesting to study this chapter during the Kartik month, because Kartik means glorification of Krishna's perfect childhood. Namami Svaram Satchidanandarupam. Yes, Krishna is also a baby. But he's the Satchidanandarupa, the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. First, we have to understand that. He's the Ishwar with that kind of body before we proceed further in the Dhammadrastic prayer. And Krishna's childhood pastimes are such that Itchi Dhritsa Lila Vir Ananda Kunde. Hearing about the Baal Lila of the Lord plunges all the residents of Vrindavan in the Ananda Kund, the pool of liquid ecstasy, liquid Ananda. That is the result of hearing about Krishna's childhood activities, and all these stages of Krishna's apparent bodily growth are stimulation for the devotee's ecstatic love. So in this Kumar age, when Krishna's between childbirth and 5 years old, that particularly stimulates those who have parental love of the Lord, Vatsalya Rasa. And then comes the Poganda stage with between 5 and 10, which particularly stimulates those who have Sakyaras, friendship with the Lord. And then of course comes Kishore, in which Krishna is the perfect teenager, meant especially for charming the hearts of his cowherd girlfriends. So, during the month of Kartik, you can meditate on Krishna's perfect childhood leelas, childhood without problems, teenage years without problems. And then here you are studying about Diti and Kashyapa, and they had a big problem, which could have been avoided, but Kashyapa wasn't strong enough, and Diti lost her good sense, but still something good came out of it for Lord Maharaj. Any questions or comments? Yes. Ritu Prabhu. Ritu Pati. Either of great sages.
Thank you.
How could you say that? Yes, of course. Because this is pregnancy of DP in the evening, you know. I can go on and on, you know, but classes at New York have a time limit, so if you come on other days, believe me, you'll hear the others. I'm equally disposed. because we have a time limit, you know, the Damodarastic prayers make the class start a little late, and I'm sensitive, trying to be sensitive to the management scene here and not make long classes. So because it's particularly about Kashyapa and DP, I focus on that one. But catch you on another day and. Make a party. Okay, Tuesday you hear all about it. I don't really have direct experience in this kind of a thing, you know. I just read the purport, Here's one I wish Prithu would get on his day for class. Listen to this purport. The difference. This is not me saying it, but I wish this on somebody else's class. The difference between a married wife and a public prostitute is that one is restrained in sex life by the rules and regulations of the scriptures, whereas the other is unrestricted in sex life and is conducted solely by the strong sex urge. Although very enlightened, Kashyapa the great sage became a victim of his prostitute wife. Fortunately, I didn't get that version. these kind of questions, you please, better you ask someone who has experience in that ashrama. One thing that I'll say finally, I'm very happy, it makes me feel very secure, is that I know for any of my devotees I'm attempting to serve here in the Dwarka, whenever they have marriage problems, household problems, I know where to send them, and it's a great relief. The office is right across the street every Wednesday. You'll hear the best. That makes life very easy for me. So I like to express gratitude for that. And if you want, discuss those things and hear expert advice, you have to talk to someone who's demonstrated decades of dedication to executing that ashram so nicely. It's my feeling those persons are easily as good as sannyasis, and often, most of the time for preaching, they're more valuable than sannyasis. That is my opinion. All right, all glories to the Prabhupada.